All this year, of course, we celebrate America at 250. 2.5 centuries ago, 56 men in Philadelphia, representing 3 million people back home, said yes by voice vote to the final wording of our Declaration of Independence, which declared independence from England and at the same time dependence upon the Creator. The Declaration says that God has given us inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, fast forward to today, and we see a homeless crisis, especially in some of our blue cities like Los Angeles. Whatever happened to the pursuit of happiness? Publius Communications writes, Los Angeles has spent billions of dollars attempting to solve its homelessness crisis, yet the number of people living on the streets remains staggering. Where has the money gone, and why aren't taxpayers seeing results? With us to discuss homelessness is Nels Grevillius, a crime expert, author, and U.S. Army veteran. He completed 3 tours in Korea with DMZ service. He's the author of a book called The Last Lawman, True Stories of a Private Detective. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we have the privilege to talk with Nils right now about the whole homeless crisis, especially as seen in the City of the Angels. Nils, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Well, it's my sincere pleasure, Jerry. We can dive right into this, but I'm going to start with the observation that in the late 18th century, Spanish wags had already started calling the city of the Queen of the Angels a city of devils for the sword fights in the streets, the corruption, the pollution, and everything else. Los Angeles has had problems off and on for a long time. But this newest problem that we have with the quote-unquote homeless was a calculated problem, one that was fertilized and irrigated for political purposes and continues to be so.
Okay, go ahead and wax eloquent.
Well, I'm going to wax eloquent. I'm going to point out to you that any city in this county that has a homeless problem has created shelter after shelter, bigger and larger, that sort of thing, more flop houses, more soup kitchens, that sort of thing. And the people at the top up in Sacramento, the plantation class Democrats running this state, funded NGOs and other scenarios.
Okay, let's just real fast. NGOs stands for non-government offices or whatever.
Non-governmental organizations, in other words, they get taxpayer dollars to accomplish the stated goals of government and law, legislation, policy, etc., without accountability to voters.
Okay, and so
and this is
what, so are you
this
basically
is for three purposes, Jay.
Okay, go ahead. What are the three purposes?
Well, the first purpose is to absolve the people at the top of any, you know, responsibility for what's occurred. In other words, we've thrown money at this. We've got experts working on this. Number two, it has created a new class of very wealthy, I will call them parasite class Democrats, between the plantation class and everyone else here, who exist solely to redistribute these funds in the form of, I'm going to call it, communist cryptocurrency. And I know that sounds hyperbolic, Jerry, but I'm not exaggerating. These people are Jacobins more than anything else. They don't care about the homeless. They don't care about suffering addicts. They don't care about alcoholics living under freeway bridges. They care about enriching themselves and delivering more power to the combination that is cycling this money to them. It is their cryptocurrency. And then the third purpose, the most nefarious purpose, most cynical purpose of all, in my view, Jerry, is every single person collecting benefits in this state, most of them administered by NGOs unaccountable to voters, has to have a state ID card or a state driver's license of some sort. And with that automatically comes voters' registration, whether they have an address or no address. And, you know, I promise you, the county registrar is not sending a ballot to the third tree stump under the railroad trestle next to the 101 freeway. They are sending it to an agency, an NGO, where the true job of the people running the NGO is making sure that ballot gets filled out correctly and delivered at the last possible minute to flood the zone, to make accountability of these ballots deeply problematic for anybody wanting to audit the vote.
But what about the human misery?
Human principle will always be an orphan starving in the gutter compared to the needs of political power, Jerry. I hate to sound cynical. I'm going to say that many of these NGOs style themselves religious charities.
It's amazing. Yeah, talk about toxic empathy. So tell me, is there a link between homelessness and, let's say, drug addiction or, you know, any of those kinds of issues?
Completely. I mean, that is the major nexus. And I'm going to say 98% of the people suffering on the streets of Los Angeles, probably 70,000 just in the city of Los Angeles, are drug addicts and or alcoholics. The other 2% have untreated mental illness like paranoid schizophrenia, bipolar manic depression, other forms of depression, organic brain disease, whatever. Much of the paranoid schizophrenia I'm seeing these days arises of cannabis toxicity. The people promoting cannabis, high-grade cannabis, aren't going to warn their users about the link between THC and paranoid schizophrenia.
But at least they vote, says the cynic.
Reliably. They vote more reliably than the suburb that I live in.
Now,
amazing.
I'm sure there's a lot of fighting among the homeless. What are describe the conditions that the homeless are living in Los Angeles?
Okay, so I'll give you an example. There's a section of Los Angeles called Pacoima. It's where Richie Valens, the rock and roll guy, was from. It's a blue collar suburb of the San Fernando Valley, ringing every industrial street. Are derelict campers, Winnebagos, etc., many of them with flat tires, inoperative motors, the windows blacked out with paint or tape or cardboard, that sort of thing. Many of them were brought there by the people who were addicted, alcoholic, that sort of thing. Most were bought at junkyards, though, and hauled there to be parked on the street, where they emptied their effluvia into the storm drains, that sort of thing. And the gang members who sell them drugs also tax them, make them pay a street tax to stay in the camper that is parked curbside. And if they do not pay that tax, I don't know whether it's $50 a week, $100 a week, etc., they stand a very good chance of being beaten down or even having their camper lit on fire.
Well,
that's one example.
It sounds like something out of a Dickens novel, but go ahead, keep going.
Well, I've got an even better one for you and your listeners, Jay. There is a prostitution track in South Central Los Angeles, just south of downtown, really. It's called the Figueroa Corridor, and any of your listeners can look it up on Google. You will find 13- and 14-year-old girls wearing underwear for sale in the middle of the day, being watched over by pimps who jealously guard their property as if it was so much livestock. And this is an open thing where any man in this city can go down there and purchase a 13-year-old girl, a 14-year-old girl, a 30-year-old girl. And how do you think you get females, whether they're American or illegal alien, DACA, whatever, how do you think you get them to prostitute themselves and turn all of that money over to a pimp? It's through drug addiction. They sexually assault them. They introduce them to narcotics until they are addicted to narcotics, and they use them like cattle. And when they're used up, they die. Often they die of fentanyl overdose on the streets. They get beaten. They get traded around, you know, used up, that sort of thing. And I'm going to point one more thing out to you. The city of Los Angeles has a female mayor, a big leftist named Karen Bass, and contesting her for leadership of the city is an even bigger leftist, another one of those Jacobin DSA members, Nithya Raman. And they won't do anything about this. In fact, they've passed laws making it illegal for the police to investigate whether or not somebody is loitering for the purposes of prostitution. The only way these laws get enforced with an occasional breakup of these prostitution rings is if Bill Esaley, our U.S. attorney, brings the feds in to do it. And heaven knows that the people in Congress on the other side don't want Bill Esaley enforcing any laws, nothing immigration related, nothing crime related, that sort of thing, because they've sold equity to organize crime in the California Democrat Party.
This is astonishing. Now, we all saw what happened when it looked like Spencer Pratt had a shot in his bid to become mayor of the city of Los Angeles. And at first, he seemed to be winning. And then, oops, the votes came out of nowhere. And Rahman became the other chief competitor to Karen Bass. Any comment on that, election? By the way, I don't even know if at this point they've even finished counting all the ballots.
Well, you couldn't count you couldn't trust the count whether they counted them or didn't count them, and that's sort of the purpose of it. An insecure society is easily destabilized and moved in one direction or another. It's almost as if it were a psyop, isn't it, Mr. Newcomb? So, yes, I enumerated this. This is the derelict vote, the dead body vote, the cartoon character vote, the house pet vote. All came in at the last minute for Nithya Raman. It was super amazing. Yeah, Spencer Pratt got a few votes, but not many. Unless and until we reform our balloting procedures in this state and other blue states, we're going to continue to have results like this. I'm running a detective operation here in California, Jerry, and people think private detectives handle cheating husbands and insurance claims. My work involves criminality, human misery, recovering stolen property, finding kidnapping victims, you know, things like that, dead body cases, cold case homicides. Often the police are forbidden to act by our own penal code, by the happy, smiling men in skirts and suits who tell them what to do and what they must never do. So the primary role of law enforcement in the state of California, Jay, unfortunately, is protecting the political class from the destabilized population.
Now, Gavin Newsom wants to be president of the United States. Having seen what you see in Los Angeles, what are your thoughts on that?
I think Gavin Newsom is in no danger of becoming president, Jerry, to be honest. He's like a lot of people who are deluded because he can count on a tongue bath from the political media in this state to treat him as if he's super amazing and awesome. He's got a big media team. A couple of months ago, he had Katie Couric interview him for an hour and a half in her podcast. And that wasn't a news interview. That was marketing is what that was. She kept remarking to him how handsome he is. And the man is a fool. And he's corrupt and he's incompetent. And, I don't think even the Democrat cult would nominate him at this point. They're going to have a battle royale for the 2028 nomination process. And I'll explain what I mean by that.
Okay, just so you know, we have about 20 seconds left. 20 seconds left. Again, I want to get in the
Navy
book. The
party that hates oligarchs.
Yeah.
Now my book is The Last Lawman. And it's available for sale on Amazon right now. And it's my true-to-life memoir of 30 years of running and gunning on the streets of L.A. as a private detective.
All right. And in 20 seconds, go ahead and explain what you were saying about the oligarchs.
Well, the party that says they hate oligarchs is run by oligarchs. The party that says that it hates the Electoral College uses an Electoral College that they call superdelegates in its own nomination process. Pretty amazing, Jerry. They will put in a synthetic nominee rather than an organic nominee. And at this point, I think their organic nominee would probably be AOC.
All right, Nils, thank you so much for being with us. Again, the name of his book is The Last Lawman, True Stories of a Private Detective. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for lending me your amazing microphone.
Okay, thank you. Now, bye-bye.